Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Hi, I'm Dan for Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers, here to share the easiest way to buy tires. Come to Dobbs. With the best tire brands and the biggest inventory, you'll get your tires the same day at the lowest price, guaranteed. Next time you need tires, get into Dobbs.
And I'm Brandon Kiley. A cool scene last night as the Blues took on the Anaheim Ducks, and it was what appears to be the final game of David Backes' career. And Joey Vitale was on hand, our Blues analyst for 101 ESPN. He's able to see the scene out there at Enterprise Center. He joins us now via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Joey, we appreciate the time last night, man. Let's start there. What was that like for you to be able to witness what was potentially David Backes' final game of his career?
Well, BK, what's going on? Listen, after everything I saw last night, I hope it's his last game. Jeez, crying out there, having mom and dad on the. Imagine every game ended that way. That'd be funny. No, I'm only kidding, obviously. But for how emotional he was, I think we could easily say that was probably his final game at the Blues versus the Blues at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis, probably with the Ducks, and probably across his NHL career, which is an incredible career, to say the very least. He spent a decade here with the St. Louis Blues. You know, to me, he never really won a cup, but he really embodied and really brought together that kind of Bobby Plager style of hockey from the 60s, where it kind of had gone away in the 80s at times. But to me, David Backes is one of those kind of core guys that really brought that identity back to this city as far as being a tough team to play against. Just that gruesome leader that you go to bat for, and he's just got this amazing balance of being close to the players, but also got the closest to the coach, and he bridged that gap so incredibly well. Terrific human being. He always treated me so kindly when I would come back to town to skate in the summers, and I was with the Penguins and the Coyotes, always opening up the ring to me and letting me dress in the locker room with the Blues, and just a kind soul. I mean, really, there's nothing much more you can say about it. He's a true captain on and off the ice. What a tribute it was last night, and even better, the Blues did him right by getting his family on the Jumbotron, highlighting him there in the first period, and then, of course, that handshake at the end where the veterans on this Blues team led the way, led the charge, shaking his hand, and then, of course, seeing the tears and emotions from his parents and him as well. Just an all-around wonderful night, guys, one we'll never forget. In fact, I remember he had a great chance in that second period,
backdoor
empty net. And I remember thinking, like, if this guy scores, this may be, like, the loudest ovation you will hear from an opponent coming to the Enterprise Center and scoring. But he just missed over the net. That would have been cool. But at the same time, it was a wonderful night.
Joey, I was thinking about this, though, with David Backes. And maybe it's an outlandish thought. But, I mean, we've heard so much about how good of a leader he was and how much he was able to lead a young group of players with the Anaheim Ducks and what he did in St. Louis with guys like Perron and Schwartz and Oshie and Berglund. Would it be crazy to think that a team like the Seattle Kraken would take a chance on a guy like this who maybe he's not an everyday player, but he's a guy to have in the locker room? And if you're Backes, do you even consider that?
No, I think no to both. I think no that, you know, David would want to consider and come back in the league again, you know, because look at how his last couple of years have gone. I mean, we even go back to 19 when he lost with the Bruins. He got in there a little bit, but he just doesn't have the horse anymore, right? He doesn't have the ability to make a dent in the game. And he knows that, and he's got too much pride for himself. He's got too much care and love for the team that would carry him along to go out there and play the way he did. I think his time is up. I think he knows that. And I think for any Seattle team or any expansion team or for better or worse, any team that would want to trade him, they understand it's just not there anymore. So I think for both parties, I think this really does feel like the time to step away. And it's sad, too, because you see the wonderful person that he is, the wonderful leader he was, and everything he did for this community in St. Louis. He's one of those guys you wanted him to win the cup. And, of course, you didn't want him to do it with the Bruins because the Blues were facing the Bruins in 2019. But you prayed and you hoped that a player like him with the integrity and the leadership qualities he has, at one point he would get that championship. And he's gone through a lot. I mean, he had a lot of ups and downs, but he had a lot of hurdles. He had to kind of fight through, which even makes his story even cooler. I mean, you go from leaving a team if you were with them for a decade to a couple years later than you finding yourself playing against them in the Stanley Cup final, only to see your best friend, Alex Pietrangelo, raise the cup. I mean, that in itself had to have been extremely hard. He went through the ringer. He went through the car wash the last couple of years, being in the lineup, out of the lineup. I think he only played all but 14 or 15 games this season with the Anaheim Ducks, one of the worst teams in the league. So it was his time. Time was up. But I promise you one thing, moving on for him, it won't be playing anymore. But there is some major, major general managers out there, a long list of general managers that will be calling him either for coaching roles, management roles, because he has so much that he took from this game, and there's so much more I know he wants to give back to this game in some sort of role one way or another.
We're talking to Joey Vitale, Blues analyst for 101 ESPN. He's joining us here on BK and Ferrario. Joey, I mentioned earlier that I think there's a little bit of a silver lining to the Blues losing last night. Now, obviously, you'd like to win that game, but now they've got a meaningful game on Friday that really does matter for them in the standings to be able to potentially clinch a playoff spot against Vegas. I really want to see how this team right now stacks up against the Vegas Golden Knights, because it's totally in play that could be the team that they see in the first round of the postseason. Do you think that's fair, that if there is a silver lining to losing last night, it's that you get to see a meaningful game on Friday?
Yeah, I think without question. I mean, to me, that's definitely the positive, where, you know, you don't want to take your foot off the pedal too far away from the first day of playoffs. I will say that. You know, I think there were some massive advantages in 2019 when the Blues had a scratch and claw for the last 2.5 months to find themselves in a position to make the playoffs. I think that really set them up to play playoff hockey, because they were playing playoff hockey for 3 straight months. You know, and I think for the St. Louis Blues team, you go back to about a month ago when, you know, they were about, I think, 3 points out of a playoff spot with the Arizona Coyotes, and they had one of the toughest schedules. I think that's when they really kicked it in the gear. And I think that they knew they had to, like, really check our egos at the door and start playing for the guy next to you instead of for yourself. And they started doing that, and they started winning. And I think you have to continue that as you approach game one of that first round. And in order to do that, to find yourselves still kind of scratching for points and trying to, you know, officially make it into the playoffs, I think, yeah, absolutely. That should be motivation enough. You know, Alex and I were talking about it a little bit earlier, but, you know, the catch-22 of it is, yes, you're still playing meaningful hockey, but guess what? The opponents you're going to be facing in the next week and a half, they're playing meaningful hockey too. And it sounds crazy, but why would the Vegas Golden Knights be playing meaningful hockey? Well, they're only 4 points ahead of the Colorado Avalanche, and the Colorado Avalanche have one game in hand on them, and they're going to want that division. So I'm telling you right now, if you're Vegas, you want that one seed, and you want to probably be facing that 4 seed in the St. Louis Blues, because I think if you look at the top 3 teams, Minnesota, Colorado, and Vegas, they're playing very strong hockey right now. So I think Vegas has a lot to play for. Colorado's going to be pushing the pace because they want that number one seed. And then Minnesota is not going to want to go to Colorado for game one and two if that's how the things kind of sort themselves out. So between the two of Colorado, you got two of them against Minnesota. The L.A. one's going to be kind of a wash. I think things will be kind of cleaned up as far as the top 14 by then. But I do believe that the last four games against the Minnesotas and the Vegas Golden Knights, those are going to be meaningful playoff-style hockey, where I don't know if we're going to be seeing a lot of rest out of these Blues top players, because Craig Berube is still fishing and trying to look for chemistry with some of these lines. I mean, the only line right now to me that's untouchable is this third line with Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, and Mike Hoffman. I mean, all the other lines, I think he's still trying to find chemistry. So if you're still looking for chemistry entering the playoffs, you know that you're going to be having all your horses in the lineup trying to establish that, because when puck drops on game one, that's when you want to be hitting on all cylinders.
You know, Joe, I look at the team win healthy, and it looks like Craig Berube is going to have some really tough decisions to make. You know, you look at the defensive side with Krug and Dunn out. I mean, who do you take out of the lineup when they're back with Walman playing as well as he has, along with Nico Mikkola and Robert Bortuzzo? And then you look at the forward position. I mean, Clifford looked great last night. You got Mackenzie McEachern, who's back in, but then you got Zach Sanford. Where do you think Craig Berube is going to lean when these decisions come up when health is there?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to come down to matchups. You know, let's just say that we draw in the Vegas series. I think that's a heavy team. To me, the two defensemen, for example, that would come out would be Walman and Mikkola, obviously, with Bortuzzo kind of beginning to kind of flirt around there as well if there should be another injury. But let's just say that Walman and Mikkola are out for Krug and Dunn. That's fair to say. But now, if one player were to have to draw in, if someone's not healthy, to me, it's all about the matchup. Vegas is a heavy team. They play physical. To me, it would be Mikkola. If it's the Colorado Avalanche, a fast team that doesn't play as physical, but you got to get up in a hurry and got to defend well, to me, then it's Jake Walman. So a lot of it comes down to matchups. From the top end, you look at Sammy Blais. When Sammy Blais is healthy, he's a top 6 forward on this team, because what he has done before he got dinged up just this past game. You know, so he missed the one game that we saw there a couple nights, excuse me, last night. But before that, he's been playing really good top 6 minutes, especially with Ryan O'Reilly. And even on that Bozak line, he's come in, subbed in very well. He's been productive. He's getting some goals. So I think Zach Sanford would draw out from that point on. Listen, I like Kyle Clifford's game last night. I know this is a player that he understands the situation. He's won 2 Stanley Cups. He understands this ride and how it rolls. So for him, he's understanding that he needs to go out there and kind of make a tent and play some good hockey too, because Craig Berube is looking for a solidified fourth line that can go out there and shut teams down and play that grinding style hockey that can get your team momentum in the game. So I really like Kyle Clifford on that fourth line. You know, so to me, I think Mackenzie McEachran would draw out. And then I think I really like Sammy Blais in a top 6 role as well. Now, the big wild card is going to be Vladimir Tarasenko. This, to me, is the biggest decision that I think Craig Berube and staff have to make. Where do you put Vladimir Tarasenko? What kind of chemistry are we looking for with Vladdy? Does he end up going back with that Bozak and Schwartz line? They had some good success. Do they continue with that? Braden Schenn got moved off the Ryan O'Reilly line last night because it was getting a little bit stale. Do they go back Schenn to the middle? Does Bozak drop back down to a line, maybe even that fourth line? You know, so Vladdy coming in is going to certainly mix things up in a good way, because you want him in that lineup because he can score some goals. And if you go back to 2019, without him, that San Jose series and that Boston series, I don't know if the Blues win the Cup. So he can make a major impact in the game if you find him on the right line with the right personnel where they have really good chemistry. So to me, that is the wild card. What is 91 going to do, where he's going to end up, assuming, guys, he's going to be healthy.
Joey, final question that I've got for you. The other thing that maybe could throw a wrench into things, what's the latest that you've heard on Klim Kostin? Do we know kind of what the situation is going to be with how long his quarantine's going to need to be? Where are we at with Klim Kostin right now?
You know, honestly, that's a great question, and I just do not have the answer to that. The latest I had was he was in the works of coming over here, but that's all I have to say about that. And you really hope that he can be available at some time through the playoffs, because you bring up a good point, BK. That is another really cool wild card, because here's Klim Kostin, who spent the whole year in the KHL, you know, because of quarantine reasons and travel visas, he couldn't get here during the pandemic. So they said, just stay over there, play some big boy hockey, get confident, get out there, play some good big time minutes on the first power play. And he did all that, and he won a championship. I can't think of a player that's probably more confident with his skill set right now than Klim Kostin. You know, Chris Weidman, the former Ottawa center, he grew up in St. Louis, obviously, great defenseman, played in the league a long time. I ran into him at Obi Clark's about 2.5 months ago, and he was talking about Klim Kostin because Chris Weidman was over in the KHL playing as well. His team just lost, so he returned home. Here we were at Obi Clark's having a couple beers watching a Blues game, and he was talking about Klim. He goes, oh, my gosh, this guy is unbelievable. And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, absolutely, Joe. He's physical. He can get to the net. He can score goals. The fans over there absolutely love him. And you look at the championship run he had, some of the highlight reel goals he had. This is a completely different person. He looks so confident. So I think you get him into a lineup when you can. And absolutely, this is a young guy that could make a major impact on the team as well. So a couple wild cards that, you know, Craig Berube and staff and Doug Armstrong certainly have. And tough decisions probably, but good decisions nonetheless, because when you make the playoffs, you just never know, and have different pieces that can kind of play different roles in it. It's a fun game to play.
And the nice thing is they've still got one more week to be able to finagle with all of them. He's Joey Vitale. He'll be on the call for Blues versus the Vegas Golden Knights on Friday night right here on your home for the Blues 101 ESPN. He will also be on This Week in Hockey with Alex Ferrario coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. Joey, we always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for hopping on with us today.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.